Hello, friends, and welcome to a golf podcast unlike any other. This is Fairway Rollin' on the Ringer Podcast Network. I am your starter, Joe House. Every week on Fairway Rollin', it is myself and our PGA Tour correspondent on the ground, Nathan Hubbard, talking all things professional golf, amateur golf, amateur betting, professional betting, amateur drinking, professional drinking, my birdie buddies. If you want to hit them straight out there, please check out Fairway Rollin' every week, available on Spotify.
This episode of the Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Crown Royal. This NBA season, Crown Royal is celebrating the loyal fans that show up for every tip-off and also celebrating the people who drink Crown Royal during games. I know I like to have some around whenever I'm taking in a basketball game, an NBA game. Always good to have around. And Crown Royal believes if you live generously, life will treat you royally. Visit crownroyal.com to get ready for tip-off. Please drink responsibly.
It is the Ringer NFL Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I am Kevin Clark, thrilled to be joined. I'm in Rochester, New York. She's in Denver, Colorado, by Lindsay Jones, new Ringer senior editor, my friend, a person who I'm just glad we get to take our private conversations and put them out for the people, Lindsay.
I'm so excited to be finally making my my debut here on the show, although I guess my debut as a employee here. I think I've been on with you in the past. It's been a minute, but I'm pumped. I've been looking forward to this for the last like 3 weeks, ever since I started here.
Oh, longer than that.
Fair enough.
All right. No, I'm kidding. We were going to do a show based around who has the most at stake for the quarterback position in 2022. We're going to still do that. However, over the past 24 hours, the circumstances have changed around two young quarterbacks who have something to prove, both in different situations. The first one is Kyler Murray, who now, as part of his $230 million contract, has a clause, according to Ian Rappaport, that says he needs to do 4 hours of independent study per week. That's new. The second is Trey Lance, who, as of Tuesday afternoon, according to Adam Schefter, is the clear starter in San Francisco. Here's the report via Schefter. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan met this morning with Jimmy Garoppolo. The three men talked, and afterwards, Shanahan told reporters, "We've moved on to Trey." This is phrased like a murder.
I mean, I'm very into true crime podcasts. And if we could just like go all into exactly what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo, has anybody seen him?
Did he come out of this meeting? Nobody found this suspicious?
Well, look, we're doing emo week here at The Ringer. So I think it only fits that somehow emo Kyle Shanahan has, you know, predicted the demise now of Jimmy Garoppolo. I hope that's not the case. I hope for Jimmy's sake, he walked out of that meeting and he's going to eventually find himself a new NFL home. I don't really know where that's going to be at this point. There's no clear landing spot, but yes, let's move on to Trey Lance.
I don't know. I mean, that was the thing because Tim Kawakami had Kyle Shanahan on his podcast yesterday and it was very, very good. And he basically said that Jimmy's going to find a home elsewhere and it's going to be great. We had a great run with him. And that felt like a soft launch of what we saw officially today, which is like Jimmy Garoppolo is not in contention to play quarterback for the 49ers. I still think there's a 0.5% chance that something weird happens. And also, if they're going to do the, hey, you know, Sam Bradford role, we're going to see if anybody is going to have an injury and trade a first round pick or a second round pick. Like, he just hangs around. Weird things happen after that. But let's start with the first player who has a lot on the line this year, and it's Trey Lance, Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, none of the rookies last year were particularly good. So at least Trey Lance doesn't have that on his resume. But
yes,
he's a guy who is now walking into a situation where he is the clear starter, other than that 99.95% chance that you're giving it right there. But he's the clear starter here. And he's a guy who his coach basically is putting his career on the line for. Kyle Shanahan has never had his ideal quarterback since he's been head coach. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo was a guy that he could get and he could win with, but he sat here pining for other quarterbacks for years, pining for Kirk Cousins, you know, exploring whether or not they could trade for Aaron Rodgers. And finally, last year, they made that huge move, gave up all that draft capital to move all the way up the draft board to take Trey Lance, a guy who, you know, physically should be able to do what Kyle Shanahan wants. We just don't know. We haven't seen any of it yet. So, you know, Trey Lance has a ton to prove, and Kyle Shanahan equally, I think, has as much at stake in Trey Lance becoming successful and successful right away.
First of all, I'm a little bit worried. I think Kyle Shanahan's one of the 10 best coaches in the NFL. Some of our Ringer colleagues disagree. I think he's great. I'm a little bit worried about what Kyle Shanahan's ideal quarterback was, because at one point it was Kirk Cousins.
It might still be Kirk Cousins.
It might still be Kirk Cousins. And so I think that there's two separate questions. What does Kyle Shanahan look like when he has his ideal quarterback? And then what is Kyle Shanahan's ideal quarterback? I think that what was interesting was I think that someone coined this term last year, one of the scheme guys, and I thought it was really interesting, where Trey Lance wasn't a scheme fit. He was a scheme expansion. He can do all the things that Jimmy Garoppolo can do plus, right? And I think that there's a lot of different possibilities. How much does he change that offense? But there's also, he's going into a situation that is not normal. I mean, Patrick Mahomes kind of went into the situation, but the difference is that Patrick Mahomes was, according to some people there who were watching practice, the best practice player they'd ever seen ever. That's no exaggeration. Yeah. Brett Veach said it. A couple of those backups, I think it was Chad Henne, told me, he said basically, like, you saw it and you were just like, this guy's doing something nobody's ever done. And Trey Lance doesn't have those sort of reports. That's not to say he won't be a great quarterback, but it is to say he's not Patrick Mahomes in year two, okay? But he's coming into a situation where they've won a lot and they're going from pretty good starter to second year guy, okay? That does not happen very often when it's a team who I think has an expectation to do what they did last year, which is make the Final Four of the NFL, okay? This is a really strange situation to be in as a first-time quarterback. And I guess my question is, how long is this leash for Trey Lance going into the season? And Kyle Shanahan, he can get pissed off very easily. Like, this could be, if there's any growing pains, this can get weird very fast, Lindsay.
Yeah, I mean, and once Jimmy Garoppolo is traded or released, whatever the case might be, I mean, the leash probably has to be really long. I mean, there is no plan B here, right? I mean, they have made this decision. And yes, Tuesday afternoon was when they, you know, officially said, we've moved on to Trey. But let's be clear, this has been the plan basically since that trade was executed before the draft. And no matter what happened last year, no matter how many games they won because they had one of the best defenses in the NFL, and, you know, Debo Samuel was one of the most ridiculous players we've ever seen. And, you know, they won a lot of games. And look, they were basically a Jaquiski Tartt dropped interception away from making the Super Bowl last year. And I remember sitting, I was at that NFC Championship game and sitting in the press box late after that game. Yeah, I'm just going to casually slip that in there since I'm not going to games anymore. Just going to remember the good old days.
The good times.
When I saw games in person. But I remember sitting there in that press box late night. You mentioned Tim Kawakami from the Athletic, who had Kyle Shanahan on his press conference. And we're just, there a bunch of us, you know, sitting there just talking about how, like, that was it. Like, this is still the plan. This is going to be Trey Lance's team. And what's going to happen next with Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't think any of us knew at that point what was the deal was with his shoulder and just how long this was going to be. I mean, back at the combine, it felt like Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be the first domino, a quarterback domino to fall. Mm-hmm. Right. And here we are now, basically the beginning of August, and that's the one piece that hasn't moved. But what has not changed is Kyle Shanahan's commitment to the Trey Lance project, John Lynch's commitment to that. And, you know, what they said on Tuesday really was just, you know, vocalizing what they've been planning for and honestly kind of saying all along.
Can I push back against a narrative here that I've seen over the past couple of months, including on Flow Newsday with Joe Montana? But it's the Trey Lance isn't ready narrative. First of all, very few quarterbacks are ready to play, even in their second year, right? Like, that's the old line about Saturday Night Live. It's, you don't put the skit on because it's ready. You put it on because it's 11:30. Like, it's time to play if you're Trey Lance. But second of all, like, yeah, like, that's why you have a full extra year. That's why you have training camp. Like, I was just listening to Mike Tomlin on the Pivot podcast. It was really, really, really good from last month. It's one of the best podcast things I've heard this year. But he was talking about how if you're a good coach, you run towards coaching. You know, you don't just say this guy doesn't have it or this guy has it. And so if Trey Lance is a bit of a project, a guy who didn't play, but I think he played 1 year in the last year of college because of the COVID season, like this is it. The pressure is on Kyle Shanahan. And I think that he thrives in that. I don't think he's going to run away from that. I think the easy way out is to say we're going to roll with Jimmy until Trey is ready. Well, that's not really how they want to do it. They want to say, actually, we're going to get Trey ready. And also, by the way, Trey's really good. So I think it's one of the most fascinating things I've seen at the quarterback position in a long time. We could do a million minutes on it, but we got to move on to Kyler Murray. So when this contract was signed, Lindsay, I thought that maybe Kyler Murray would not be on our quarterbacks with the most approved list for 2022 because he got $230 million, because all of the statements and the weirdness and they take the name out of the social media profile and all that stuff, that was behind us. Boy, were we wrong. Because Ian Rappaport reported that he has to do an independent study for 4 hours a week. I'll just say this. This is hugely embarrassing for
everybody involved.
For everybody. And the amount of jokes, I'm back in the mix as far as, like, I was in training camp today. And so I'm back to, like, just texting assistant GM shitty jokes and just, you know, negging their own team, just being like, you guys suck. It's not, I wouldn't actually send a you guys suck text. It would be more nuanced than that. But, like, the amount of text I got back joking about independent study or, hey, we're going to, you know, we have to put an independent study thing for our defense. Like, it is a league-wide joke. And, Lindsay, you couldn't, if you didn't have to dig very hard to find last year a leak about the Cardinals thinking that Kyler's study habits weren't great or that he wasn't watching a lot of film. And he said in the New York Times he's not one of these guys who watches a ton of film. If that's the case, why would you embarrass him further by doing this? And B, I guess the question is, if you're that concerned, why give him $230 million?
Well, this goes back, I mean, remember in February when all of the social media scrubbing was happening and people were talking, mm-hmm. there was the, you know, the Chris Mortensen report that he wasn't a good leader and there was questions about his work habits. And, you know, that was probably the biggest of those reports, but you would hear the rumblings, as you said, right? I mean, everybody kind of knew and I'm pretty sure wasn't it about like 5 years ago or so you did the story about the millennial NFL players and how coaches were changing their coaching habits based on millennial players.
I did
players.
About five of them because they were extremely traffic heavy.
Maybe we'll circle back to that. We'll put a pin on, but we shouldn't just put out all our story ideas now, but Kyler is like one of the first Gen Z quarterbacks. So I don't know if he's going to be the last guy to get one of these addendums, these clauses in his contracts, but it is so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing on a million levels. Good on Ian Rappaport for trying to, you know, spin it, I guess, and whether that was Eric Burkhart doing damage control or however this worked. But there's just
I don't know why
way.
Eric would put that out there. Like his agent. That's not good.
I don't know who would put that out there. Well, I mean, I think there's probably a lot of theories, and I don't know how much into this we want to get, but several days after contracts are signed, a lot of people have access to them, and people who have access to these databases can see them and can read the entire contracts. And there's probably somebody who flagged it and said, huh, that's really weird. And then the damage control happens and it's spun as like, you know, this is something that was important to the Cardinals. So it was something that was also important to Kyler. But you shouldn't have to write in independent study and you need to watch your iPad or your Surface tablet for 4 hours a day and take a little time out from Call of Duty. You shouldn't have to do that when you're a professional.
I agree. I think it is an incredibly screwed up situation. And honestly, if you feel that negatively towards Kyler Murray, you should have just traded him. Like if you have to put that kind of clause in there, I don't know what you're trying to get out of it. I'm honestly just confused. Joe Banner came out today and said, there's nothing like this. There's nothing like this he's ever seen in any other contract ever. And I think there was some kind of Twitter rumblings like, well, if every clause got leaked, you know, you'd see stuff like this. Nope. Nope. Like there are some language, some different language where it's like somebody can't do something, you know, like so you can't
go skiing.
Like, Drew Bledsoe is hella skiing or something. No hella skiing, bro. There's that thing, but there's not you have to watch film. This is just completely new and uncharted waters, and I'm fascinated to see it. All right, again, like Trey Lance, we could do another hour on this.
Well, I will say before we move on to the next quarterback, you know, we're talking about what's at stake. I mean, how does it change for you the expectations that you have? Are we going to be tracking every video game release and seeing how he performs the next week? Is it the fact that every week he's now going to be getting asked questions about, well, how much did you study now? And it's just a more of a intense focus on the decision making, those sorts of things. How do you think it changes those stakes for him?
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure. With features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It also makes it real, that narrative, because now he has to get. I think before this, it would be completely out of bounds for a beat writer to say, "Hey, man, do you watch a bunch of film?" Like, no, you would never do that. But now that the organization has said you don't watch enough film, it becomes a storyline in a way that never did before, because there's a difference between those guys trying to leak that he doesn't work hard on film, or Chris Mortensen saying it with sources on background, and it being in the contractual language. Hey, how you doing with that? Because it becomes a story. If there's an out in the contract, he doesn't watch 4 hours of film, it is completely within the realm of possibility of the press conferences. Someone can say, "Hey, man, hit those 4 hours. How you doing with that?" Like, it completely changes the narrative. That's why this getting out there, for this even existing, is so strange. All right, let's get to your first one. I was surprised you had this guy. It's Derek Carr.
It's absolutely Derek Carr. So, you know, like Kyler Murray, he's a guy who got paid this offseason. But unlike Kyler Murray, it's a kind of a funny money contract. And he very much is in a one-year prove-it situation with a new coaching staff here in Las Vegas. So basically, you know, he signed this extension, and the initial reporting is it's 3 years and all this, you know, the Raiders and Josh McDaniels are committing to Derek Carr. But when you actually go into the contract, they have a pretty easy out after one season. So before the 2023 season, where they'd only take on less than $6 million in dead money if they decided to move on from Derek Carr after this season. So, you know, I think this is very much a case of where the Raiders didn't really have any other options moving into this season. Absent making the Russell Wilson-esque type of trade, you know, for like the one guy. Look, when Aaron Rodgers was not actually going to get traded, you know, absent making that move, the other guys who were out there and available, you know, the Carson Wentzes and, you know, eventually Matt Ryan, and, you know, they were never really seemed to be in the Deshaun Watson type of sweepstakes, and good for them on that. But absent making, you know, the big move, there wasn't really an attractive other option out there that you could really consider would be an upgrade over Derek Carr. So we don't really know exactly what is he going to function like in McDaniel's offense. What is their relationship going to be like, despite everything that you will be reading over the next 2 weeks, because this is what happens at the beginning of training camp. Everything sounds great in this relationship between Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr right now. They're watching film together. You know, Peter King wrote, you know, the top of his column this weekend inside their meeting room. And for right now, it seems to be going great. But let's see what happens when the game start. And is Derek Carr doing what Josh McDaniels wants? How is he adapting to his offense? All of these sorts of things. And, you know, if for some reason it doesn't work, and if Derek Carr regresses, or if he has, you know, I'm not worried about chemistry with receivers at all, you know, obviously, but if for some reason, if this doesn't work, you know, maybe the Raiders could decide to move on. And if there's somebody that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, their new GM there, want better, they would be able to move on after this season.
Okay. Couple things. Number one, I think the floor is actually pretty high on the Raiders. I think the ceiling is sort of low. The floor is high. I think that Devontae Adams is going to make the offense better. I think that Devontae Adams calling Derek Carr Hall of Fame quarterback was very funny. And I don't, I'm so over.
Which Hall of Fame? Fresno State?
Is Derek Carr already in the Fresno State Hall of Fame?
Probably.
I feel like he probably should be. Raiders Hall of Fame, I'd say. Pretty easy path towards that. I get no satisfaction from people just like dogpiling somebody like Devontae Adams for pumping up his quarterback. Like, it's what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed
to say?
And
also, like, one of your best friends.
Yes. Like, this isn't like the Jaguars with Blake Bortles where they're just openly going at him in training camp. I think the two things. Number one is I think the bottom is not going to fall out, and it's a quarterback heavy draft next year. I don't think the Raiders are going to be in position to draft a guy. So I think that helps Derek Carr's case if he has a subpar year. And the second part of it is, I don't know. I mean, listen, I always go back to something that I think Woj said it on Ryan Russillo's podcast, or maybe Woj said it on his own podcast, but I know Ryan was there. And he said that you're just waiting in the NBA for the next guy to get pissed off, right? That's what you do if you're from team building standpoint. It's like, uh-oh, Russell Westbrook's not happy. Like that. That's what you're waiting for. And I feel like with quarterbacks in the NFL, we're there where you just wait around. I don't know who that is next year. I know who it was last year. I know who it was 2 years ago. Is there a quarterback who you feel is on, we're on pissed off watch for 2023 that could maybe be the type of quarterback that people would trade a bunch of first round picks for?
So the Russell Wilson pissed off mode, yeah. Or the like sad sack Matthew Stafford.
Stafford, yeah.
Let's just get him out of here. Part of this where I'm coming from here is that I live in Denver. I covered the Broncos during the Josh McDaniels era, and I want to believe that he's a different guy now and that he's learned a lot of lessons. But I will not underestimate Josh McDaniels' ability to piss off his starting quarterback. So I'm
maybe
not going to completely write that off and take it off.
Maybe
he
should run it back and try to trade for Matt Cassel like he did in Denver.
That was one of the worst days of my professional life.
Matt's not doing
That's
anything. I saw
podcast.
He's doing local Patriots
he's
right
on
now.
Twitter.
He's ready to rock.
He's on Twitter. He's great on Twitter. But look, we don't need to get Jay Cutler involved in any of this in any sense. But yeah, there isn't like a clear like guy who's near the end of his contract. I mean, when we were going through our list of like, who should we talk about here? I mean, there's a lot of guys who are in kind of prove it situations. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield is the clear like guy who's going to be pissed off and, you know, play with him.
Yeah. I meant good quarterbacks.
Good quarterbacks. But that's the problem. There aren't, you know, there isn't a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers this year that could potentially be on the move.
Is there anybody, even there's a kernel of he might be pissed off next year?
Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, actually, yes, but Tom Brady is also in his mid-40s.
I don't care. Did you see the picture of him in his bathing suit today? He's like,
Not really.
Let's go.
I scrolled right past it. I'm going to go through here. Like, I don't think Burrow... We need to do 5 seconds on Burrow. But Burrow does not have much at stake because he's proven himself to be a superstar, but he's getting his appendix removed.
His appendix has nothing at stake. His surgeons have a lot at stake.
Yes.
What about Lamar Jackson?
Yes, Lamar. I want to get to Lamar. We don't have that much time left in our 25-minute cap here. But Lamar has... I don't think Lamar has a ton at stake because I think he's proven... Baker Mayfield was the worst case scenario for a guy that doesn't have a contract and he goes into his last year and he plays hurt or whatever and he looks worse, right? But Lamar Jackson is so much better than Baker Mayfield that I think that even if he gets hurt, I think even if he plays hurt, even if he looks like trash, he is going to get, and for whatever reason, he's going to get gobs of money, okay? His status in this league is beyond reproach. Leaving aside Mike Sando, the anonymous GM Mike Sando talked to, or D coordinator that said that even if he wins 12 MVPs, he's not a tier one quarterback. Not totally sure what that means. I don't think financially he has a lot at stake. Do you think reputationally he has a lot at stake?
I was just thinking of that when we're listing that, like, well, who could be the guy who ends up unhappy and would
want
to change teams here?
Yes. Yes.
The guy you could end up making a big move for next season. I mean, I just think, like, I don't think he has a lot at stake. I think our takes have a lot at stake as it comes to.
Dude, that D coordinator's got a lot on the line who talked to Sando.
Yeah.
That guy's in the mud.
He's got LeBron going after him. Yeah. You want to hit a couple more guys that were just like, I'm watching you. Trevor Lawrence.
Should we talk about Trevor Lawrence? Yes.
Yeah. Our dear friend and colleague, Nora Princiati, is in Jacksonville right now, and she got to witness So two things. One, she went to a coffee shop this morning in downtown Jacksonville that is called Urban Grind.
I've probably been there.
Urban Grind. I can't believe
it's Jacksonville.
It's Jacksonville for you. It's incredible. And two, apparently it was quite the masterpiece of a day from Trevor Lawrence. One of the beat writers down in Jacksonville said that there was not a single missed ball. Nothing hit the ground. He was perfect in every session. So the Trevor Lawrence hype train is on. Apparently there were orange slices. Everybody's hair looked great in the humidity. So the vibes are good in Jacksonville. So it's going to be a fun month watching these Jags as the Trevor Lawrence train rolls on here.
Can I throw out?
Please do.
Oh, sorry. Can I throw out Justin Fields?
Absolutely.
This is going to be a quick one. Only because I still believe that Justin Fields is better than what we saw last year. There's a new regime. Rookie quarterbacks. This goes back to something I've said for a long time. And I'm not comparing these two players, so don't think that I am. But I remember going into year two of Darnold, and Jets fans got real mad at me because I said, listen, they're not ready to go right now. And then you just get to the last 2 years of your rookie contract and things start getting weird and the team doesn't know whether to invest in what they have because the quarterback hasn't declared himself as good or bad. They don't know whether or not to start making room for salary cap money. I mean, like, one of the smartest things Brett Veach told me that they started as soon as they saw Mahomes in practice, they started planning for an extension. They knew where this was going. And so young quarterbacks, you're always going 2, 3, 4 years down the line, just gaming that out. Should we trade for a first round pick? You think about a guy like Josh Allen, they went out and they got Stephon Diggs for a first round pick. We see that stuff all the time, making the quarterback better. My only thing is that young quarterbacks, if they're going to show that they're on the right track, it needs to be by the end of year two. Otherwise, the organization is going to be caught flat-footed and you're going to waste a rookie contract and you're not going to go out and trade that first-round pick, that second-round pick, whatever it is. So just from an organizational standpoint, it would be extremely good if Justin Fields decides to let everybody know that he's on the superstar track this year.
Yeah, and I think you could make that same argument with the Jets and Zach Wilson.
100%.
Every single thing that you just said. Applies,
including Jets fans getting mad.
Absolutely, it's one of your favorite hobbies.
I want to just briefly flick at Tua, because that's the same. I mean, it's with Mike McDaniel. They traded for Tyreek Hill. I think that this has been kind of a first takey thing. Like a lot of ESPN shows have talked about how much pressure Tua is under this year. I don't think I don't think they're going to get rid of him if he doesn't like ball out. I think there's some happy medium there. If they see a chance to upgrade again, that wouldn't surprise me. If they try to do it, if Tua just has a so-so year. But I also just don't know. I don't know anything about the way Mike McDaniel is a head coach. I don't know anything about Tyreek Hill playing in this offense. Tyreek Hill is still doing media tours where he says that Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. So obviously Tyreek doesn't want to make a move at quarterback. There's so many unknowns. There's so many unknowns here that I almost just kind of like, I'm in more wait and see mode than maybe I thought I'd be a month ago.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my thought on Tua is that, you know, last year you could write off all these things of like, okay, well, they don't know what they're doing with their coordinator system and it's all messed up, but there's two different coordinators and the offensive line is terrible and they have no running game. And now look, they've gone out and they've signed Teron Armstead. They've spent a ton of money on their offensive line. They gave up all those picks for Tyreek Hill and are giving him so much money. So, you know, I think there's just fewer excuses now for Tua. If it doesn't work, his protection should be better. He should have, you know, the fastest wide receiver core in the NFL. So I think that just ups the stakes a little bit, but I am very curious to see kind of what it's going to look like and who Mike McDaniel is going to be as a play caller, because we don't know that, you know, we don't know that yet, what the running game is going to look like, all of those sorts of things.
So one of the quarterback I want to throw out there. So today, Chris Ballard said, no discussions about signing Julio Jones in Indianapolis. Some discussions about T.Y. Hilton. But that brings us to Matt Ryan, who is in Indianapolis. Second straight year that they have a new quarterback that we think solves, they think solves their problem. He is under contract for two more years, $24 million in cash this year, $29 million next year. Having said that, they're obviously comfortable eating dead cap if it came to that. Part of this is tied up in roster bonuses, a $7.5 million roster bonus that guarantees on the third day of the league year. So I think they'd like to talk themselves into Matt Ryan, unless it's a Carson Wentz disaster. Having said that, Matt Ryan is a lot better than Carson Wentz. What's on the line with Matt Ryan in 2022?
To end the Colts streak of having a different starting quarterback every single season, as much as I like
Baker Mayfield next year, Jimmy Garoppolo the year after, Tua the year after, Tom Brady after, and then finally in 2027 it ends when Tom Brady joins the team.
There it is.
It gives them a decade.
As somebody who likes chaos, I mean, I would totally love to just see a team attempt to just play every single season with a different starting quarterback. But so I think that's at stake. I mean, this is a good team, a team that was a horrible collapse, an embarrassing one of the worst losses of the season away from making the playoffs, where they probably could have been a pretty dangerous team in those early rounds of the playoffs based on the way that they'd been playing previous to that. Leadership won't be an issue there now. We're not going to be hearing those rumblings about like this guy, you know, nobody wants to follow him or any of that kind of stuff that we heard with Carson Wentz. So that's not going to be an issue. So I just want to see if he can at least be the bridge quarterback now to whatever the Colts next long-term plan is going to be.
4 hours of independent study for Matt Ryan?
I don't think that's a problem. They're probably going to have to be like, you need 4 hours a week to play with your kids.
All right. We blew past the time limit for these things. Lindsey Jones, we'll do this again very soon.
I've been waiting for 3 weeks. I'm sorry.
Thank you to Stefan Harrison for helping out with additional production for the players during the Rams football. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.